you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. This is what it says in NIV version. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is the verse I'm going to preach on today, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I've entitled my message today, I am confident. Amen. Amen. I am confident. You see, Philippians is a favorite book of the Bible for many people because it is a positive book. It is a practical book. And most importantly, it's a joyful book. Do you know, it talks about having joy in the Lord. It talks about the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And in fact, joy is one of the most predominant themes throughout its pages. However, let me say this. However, I would not say it is a major theme. I would say the major theme is that of being partners in the gospel. Partners in the gospel. Yes, Paul is full of the joy, okay? And his heart is overflowing with the joy. But his joy is not based on his feelings. Let me say this again. His joy is not based on his feelings. His joy is not based on his success. His joy is not even based upon his recognition amongst the Christian community. You know, in his time, he's recognized amongst the Christian community, and he's not basing his joy upon that recognition as well. Rather, his joy is based on the gospel. Amen. His joy is based on the gospel and the fact that he and the Philippians are partnering together in the gospel. Amen. You see, God is not finished yet. Let me say this again. God is not finished yet, because let's face it, if we look at the condition of the world around us, if we look at the condition of the church around us, if we look at the condition of our own life, and if this was the end of the story, we would all be in big trouble. But praise God, amen. But praise God, it's not the end of the story. God is still working, amen. God is still working. He's not finished yet. He is not finished yet. And certainly when Paul was writing this letter, it wasn't the end for him. People thought when he was locked up in prison, this is end for Paul. His ministry is finished and he did some great job for the Lord and now he's in prison and this is the end for him. But no, it wasn't the end for him. There was more, amen. There was more. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi to help them in their Christian journey and to encourage them as partners in the gospel. You see, Philippi was a Roman colony located in the northeast corner of what is now Greece. And you see, it was originally founded in the 4th century BC by Philip of Macedon, who named it after himself. And Philip was the father of Alexander the Great. And Philippi was not a big city, but it lay on a very important trade route, which was the main highway between Rome and the Eastern Empire. You see, Philippi was mostly Gentile. There were not even enough Jews there to start a synagogue. And to start a synagogue, you would need at least 10 Jewish men. And it was mostly Gentile and mostly pagan. There were a number of pagan cults represented but the dominant religion was the worship of the emperor of Rome. Emperor worship was part of daily life and public gatherings in the city. And the private and the primary obligation of emperor worship was to hail the emperor as savior and Lord. So when Paul was preaching Christ as savior and Lord, it was bringing a lot of friction in the air. Paul founded this church at Philippi during his second missionary journey, say about 51 AD. And if we look at Book of Acts, we see that he went there in response to a vision. And the church at Philippi was the very first church Paul planted in Europe. When Paul writes this letter, he is in prison, probably in Rome. And the church at Philippi was maybe about 10 years old and established, but fairly still young in the Lord. And in this letter, Paul tells them that he's indeed very confident. Let me say this again. He's indeed very confident of this one thing, that he, God of heaven and the earth, who began a good work in them, was going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is confident of this. The word confident, when you look at the Greek, is also meant fully persuaded. He's fully persuaded. He is confident that God will finish this good work that he began in the lives of Philippians. Why? Because it is God who started it. Amen. It wasn't any man who started this. It was God who started it. And if God starts something, he finishes it. Amen. God always finishes what he begins. And as I was preparing this message, and as I was looking deep into this text, I heard three echoes. I got three things from this text, and I'd like to share that with us all this afternoon. The first thing I got was this. When Paul's saying to them, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of completion, Paul was urging the Philippians to be prepared. Let me say this. Paul was urging them to be prepared. And if we were to apply this into our context today, the message is this. God wants us to be prepared. God wants us to be preparing. Amen. You see, waiting time is not wasting time. It's preparation time. Amen. Waiting time is always preparation time. When we wait, we think, oh, there we go. A lot of our days, a lot of times wasted. But it's not. It's about how we use that time. It's about how we utilize the time that God gives us. And every time when God commands us or instructs us to wait, what he's trying to say to us, it's time for you to prepare. Amen. It's time for you. It's time for us as a church to prepare. If we look at some of the Old Testament characters in the Bible, for example, Joseph. Joseph, he had a vision, he had a dream, but he had to wait to get to that place where God had planned for him. And in his waiting, God was preparing him, amen? And at that time, when he was going through this process of preparation, he might have had a lot of questions to God, saying, God, why is this not happening? God, you promised me this, but why is not happening? There was a lot of questions, but in this process of waiting, God was preparing him. Also, David. You see, David was anointed to become a king. But when he was serving, what happened to him, it was just very sad. And when we look into his life, all throughout his journey, God was preparing him. Amen. All throughout his journey, God was preparing him. Also, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look into the Bible, we see that Jesus starting his ministry at the age of 30. But the Bible also says there are many accounts that's not been recorded, which Jesus performed. Okay. So in this process of actually stepping into what God had for him, he was going through this process of preparation. He was going through this process of waiting. In other words, the Bible calls it in due season, in due time. Okay, there's a scripture in Galatians, and it says, do not be weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest. In due time, in other words, right time. Amen?
Amen.
Right time. But for us to get to that right time, God will take us through this process of preparation. And sometimes we wonder, God, why are we having to go through this? And the answer is because God is preparing us. God is preparing us. All the hardships, all the struggles that we go through, God is preparing us. And the real question probably that we need to ask ourselves is this: how are we waiting? How are we waiting? Okay. The word of God says, wait for the Lord. The word of God says, be still. But how are we stilling ourselves? How are we waiting? Some of the questions that I ask myself is this: how is my commitment? When Lord puts something in my heart, where when the Lord plants me somewhere, what's my commitment level like? When Lord plants each and every one of us in whatever place that he plants us, how is our faithfulness like? Not only that, but in order for us to journey this journey of sanctification, in order for us to walk through this process of preparation, we need to have determination. In other words, whatever happens in my life, I am not throwing down my towel. No. Whatever happens in my life, I am going to press on. Whatever happens in my life, I'm not going to act on my emotions. I'm not going to act on my feelings. I'm not going to act on the events, but I'm going to act on the word of God. And the word of God is this: for each and every one of us, he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Amen.
Amen.
Will bring it to completion. But the question is, how is our commitment? The promise is there, the word is there, but what's our commitment level like? The promise is there, the word is there, but what's our faithfulness level like? The promise is there, the word is there, but what's our determination level like? You see, when I look at the life of Peter, his failures did not disqualify him. Let me say that again. His failures, his fallings did not disqualify him. Rather, it qualified him. Amen. Rather, his failings qualified him because he learned the lesson that he was not to trust in his own talents, that he was not to trust in his own flesh, but he was to trust in Jesus. Paul, when we look at his past, his past did not disqualify him. If he would have chosen to dwell on his past, he probably would not have been able to preach the gospel. He probably would not have been able to do the things for God, which he did, because he would have probably been in this pit of guilt. But he chose to move past that because he knew that God had called him. He chose to move past his feelings. He chose to move past all of the things that he'd done in the past to press on to the new thing that God had for him. And because he chose to press on, it qualified him because he learned from it. See, our past and failures does not disqualify us. Whatever your past, whatever you might have done in the past, it does not disqualify you. Rather, it qualifies you for God's work. It qualifies you for God's work. Jesus said to Peter, come and follow me and I will make you. Come and follow me and I will make you. You see, Jesus is calling out to each and every one of us today. And the word that was to Peter is the same word to each and every one of us. Come, follow me and I will make you. You see that word, I will make you. It does not say you will make yourself. No, don't try to make yourself. Let us not try to make ourselves. Let's not try to be someone that we're not, but let us be allowing to the Spirit of God. In other words, let us open ourselves to the Spirit of God so that we allow the Spirit of God to mold us into his plan and purpose. So we allow Jesus to mold us. See, in our prayers, we say, God, make me this, God, make me that. But our prayer should be, God, make me into what you want me to be. God, transform me into who you want me to be. God, place me where you want me to be. God, plant me where you want me to be. Not what I want, not what we want, but what God wants. And then he will make us. Amen. Then he will make us. he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. In other words, he is preparing us. Mm-hmm. He is preparing us. The second thing I got from the scripture was this. It's time to make room for the new. Let me say this. It's time to make room for the new. In order for God to do the new work in us, we need to clear the old thing from our life. The question is, have we cleared our junk mail? Have we cleared our recycle bin? See, in our computer, when we delete something, it either goes on to recycle bin or it just gets deleted straight away. And majority of the time when we delete something, it will go onto our recycle bin. So what we need to do next is we go onto our recycle bin. Then there's a button there where it says empty recycle bin. You see, very similarly in our lives as well, we think we've deleted some of the issues of our life, but we don't realize that we're holding it in our recycle bin. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to get rid of the things that we put in our recycle bin. You see, recycle bin is there to be recycled. And that's what we do, sadly, with some of our things of the past. We put it in our recycle bin. And if we don't deal with it there and then, we will go back to our recycle bin and we will recycle it and bring it back on our lives again. You see, when something goes in our recycle bin, you can do two things. We can either delete it completely or we can recycle it. And sadly, majority of the time, we struggle to move forward because we recycle it rather than completely getting rid of it. You see, the reason why most of us have not been able to move forward is because we have unknowingly chained ourselves to our past. We have, let me say this, unknowingly. Okay, sometimes we do it knowingly as well, because sometimes we entertain our minds with pleasures of the past. And we need to completely put that in the recycle bin and empty the recycle bin. Amen. The reason we put it on recycle bin sometimes is because we entertain our thoughts, we entertain our minds with it. But the word of God is this: empty the recycle bin.
Amen.
Empty the recycle bin. You see, we have the power, amen. The word of God gives us the power. The Spirit of God has enabled us. The Spirit of God has given us the authority. Okay, so when we have the authority, we have also the authority to completely wipe out every areas of our life and to completely move forward in the things of God. It's us, we have the authority, we have the power. And what we'll focus is what we'll see. See, wherever we put our focus on our past, if we put our focus on our past, the things of the past will pull us. Slowly, things of the past will pull us. And if we put our focus on what is happening around us, fear will slowly creep in. But if we've put our focus on what the Word of God promises us, then all of a sudden, this fire within us, the word of God fans the fire. It fans the flame. You see, the fire of God is already in us, each and every one of us. When we were born again, the fire has been birthed in each and every one of us. Now we need to fan that flame with the word of God. And if we don't fan that flame, the flame's going to go out. And for us to continue to fan that flame, continue to put petrol in that flame, we need the Spirit of God. We need the Word of God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to open up ourselves. We need the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God does the work within each and every one of us. We have to own our past and we have to overcome it. We have to own our failings. And we have to overcome it. You see, we cannot overcome something if we run away from it. We can do Jonah all day long. We can keep running, but running isn't going to get us anywhere. Running will make us go around in circles, same cycle again and again and again. The reason we struggle to move forward is because we're going around in circles. That going around in circle principle needs to stop. And for it to stop, we have to own our past and we have to overcome it. We have to deal with it. We have to overcome our failings and we have to deal with it because God wants to do a new thing. And the reason we're not able to see a new thing happening in our lives is because we're still holding on to the old thing. We're still holding on to the old baggage. It's time to cut off that baggage. It's time to completely throw that baggage aside and run into what God has for us. Because he who began a good work, he wants to bring it to completion. Amen. He wants to bring it to completion. But the question is, are we going to allow him to bring it to completion? Because he wants to do the new work in us. The third thing I got was this. Be ready to be surprised. Amen. Be ready to be surprised. Oh, I'm ready to be surprised. See, when you look back, some of the things that you were able to overcome, you thought you would never be able to overcome some of the things that you've overcome. But you've overcome it. Why? Because God gave you the strength. See, some of the struggles that you were able to completely get rid of, and you thought it was impossible, but God made it possible. I mean, God made it possible. Let's not limit God. Let's look at the life of Paul. People must have thought that he was crazy. You know, he was persecuting people from one village to another, one town to another. He was going villages, he was going cities, he was going everywhere, persecuting the believers. And all the believers probably thought, this guy is crazy. You know, but God had other plans for him. See, God used his craziness for his glory. Amen. God used his craziness for his glory. People in that time were shocked when they heard the news that Paul was now going around in different places preaching the gospel. I bet they were saying, hold on, not that Paul. And believers are going, yes, that Paul. Now he's preaching the gospel. Life of Peter, when Jesus was speaking life into Peter, and when Jesus was saying to Peter, listen, on this revelation, I'm going to build my church. You know, people must have thought, listen, here we have an uneducated fisherman. You know, he's out there fishing, and the reason why he's fishing is because he's uneducated. And people are saying, listen, what good can Peter do? All he knows is just to fish. But you know what? When we look at the book of Acts, we see him becoming the one who debates with the top thinkers of his time, winning the souls for Jesus. A man who was a fisherman is now all of a sudden debating with some great thinkers of the time, arguing that Jesus is the Son of God and winning souls for Jesus. People of that time must have been surprised when they saw Peter preaching the gospel. People who knew Peter from the past, I bet they were surprised to see Peter doing what he was doing. And also, let's look at our own life. You know, people might have said, oh, he or she, he's worthless. She's worthless. He's useless. She's useless. He won't be able to do anything. She won't be able to do anything. She's good for nothing. He's good for nothing. But I want to encourage each and every one of us. Be ready to be surprised. Amen.
Amen.
Even to the world. Listen, amen. World, amen. Be ready to be surprised, because God is about to do something amazing, amen, from their life and in their life. And the world, you will be shocked.
Yeah.
You will be shocked. Amen.
Amen.
When we look at a lot of people, when they first come into church, you know, and people from the outside probably look at them and they think, listen, what's this person doing in the church? But they don't know what Jesus can do. Amen.
Amen.
They don't know what Jesus can do. In a few years' time, in a few months' time, that same person is going to go out there, preach the gospel. That same person is going to go out there and do some mighty things for the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Be ready to be surprised. And this is the word for the world. Listen, world. Be ready to be surprised.
Amen.
Listen, Doncaster, be ready to be surprised. Be ready to be surprised. And to all the people of that time, when they looked at Paul, God was like, listen, world, be ready to be surprised. When all the people were looking at Peter, Jesus was to the world, listen, world, be ready to be surprised. When all these people were pulling this woman caught up in adultery and trying to shame her in public, Jesus was saying to them, listen, world, be ready to be surprised. Be ready to be surprised. And even in our own lives today, you might be looking at your life right now. You might be doubting a lot of things. I want to tell you this. Be ready to be surprised. Be ready to be surprised. Things you might be thinking, I won't be able to do, be ready to be surprised. You might be saying, I won't be able to preach the gospel, be ready to be surprised. Amen. You might be saying, I won't be able to pray out loud, be ready to be surprised. Amen. You might be saying, I won't be able to do this for the kingdom of God because I'm not qualified for that. Be ready to be surprised. Amen. Be ready to be surprised because he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Amen. Amen. Paul is saying, I'm confident of this, that this isn't the end. So be prepared for what God is about to do. He's saying this to the Philippians. Be ready, be prepared for what God is about to do. Paul's saying to Philippians, listen, I'm confident that he's about to do a new thing. And thirdly, Paul's saying to Philippians, listen, I'm confident that he is about to surprise us all. He is about to surprise us all. And Paul can say this because he's been through it. He's gone through it. Paul was able to say this. Listen, be ready to be surprised. And I too am confident that this isn't the end. I too am confident that this isn't the end, church. God is preparing us. I too am confident that this isn't the end. He's about to do a new thing in each and every one of his lives. You might be thinking, this is it. My life done. I've lived it. This is the end for me. Oh, I want to challenge you and tell you this, that this is just the beginning. God is about to do a new thing in each and every one of your lives. God is about to do a new thing in each and every one of our lives. I too am confident that what he's about to do will surprise us. Not only that, but what he's about to do in Insect will surprise everybody in Insect. It will surprise everybody in Insect. All of a sudden, there'll be a big queue outside because the news would have been gone round saying, oh, people are getting healed in Insect. There's great signs, wonders, and miracles taking place in different churches in Insect. Why? Because God is about to do a new thing. And the world is in for a great surprise, for a mighty surprise.
Amen.
Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm confident that God is going to fill his church. I'm confident that God is equipping his people. I'm confident that this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. I'm confident that we are in for a great surprise. I'm confident that each and every one of us, we will see great things in the land of the living. I'm confident that for each and every one of us, God has some great plans and purposes ready and lined up. And this is only a preparation time. Amen. We're in for a great surprise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.